Welcome to the Full Press Fantasy Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra, and joining me is my co-host, Brad Harbin. How you doing, Brad?
Hey, what's up, Kyle? Doing great, man. Just doing a lot better than the Buffalo Bills, that Bills Mafia or whatever. Tough break for them this week. But yeah, we're looking forward to what's going on the Sunday, man. Only four teams remain.
I'm surprised Bills Mafia hasn't put a hit on Tyler Bass yet.
Although,
to I think a lot of Bills fans' credit, apparently Bills and Chiefs fans apparently like combined for a large donation to some of Tyler Bass's charities. So there are some Bills fans that are like completely livid and sending him death threats, which here's a lesson, folks. Don't do that.
Anyone who listens
to this needs to hear that. I assume most people don't. I'd like to think intelligent people listen to this podcast, and people who are smart think I'm a good person to listen to it. Maybe that's my ego talking.
Optimism. For sure. Yeah, you got to be better than that. It's certainly a tough break. I feel like if the Chiefs got the ball back, they were going to find a way to win anyway.
All they need is 13 seconds, right?
Obviously, from a couple years ago, sure.
Yeah. You say 13 seconds or now you say 13 seconds or wide right to a Bills fan. That's just sorry, Bills fans.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
I was upset. I was rooting for the Bills, honestly, because at that point the Packers were eliminated. So
yeah,
I could give my full allegiance to the Bills. And yeah, no.
Yeah.
Sorry, city of Buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you already recorded the Packers pod or?
No, that is still upcoming. The Full Press Packers pod. I think it'll be our last episode of the season. We'll do kind of we'll recap the divisional round game against the 49ers loss.
Sure.
And then we'll kind of just, you know, put a cap on the season. Like rear view mirror now, unfortunately, talk about that. Right. Maybe we'll talk about the other championship games as well, other divisional round results. We're still going to be on at least for this week and the next week, Brad. So.
I definitely want to tune in, man. I was pulling for you guys, nonstop. I was definitely upset about, how that one, turned out. I mean, you guys were right there. I mean, got a couple things here and there, man, that was a tough break. So I'd love to hear what you guys had to talk about.
Yeah. I don't really want to talk about it.
I understand.
Yeah. Three of the four home teams won. 49ers, Lions, Ravens. Bills lost, though.
Yes, they did.
But yeah, it was, we'll talk about a few things. So we could actually talk about those games if you want, Brad. We'll of course, preview the next two games, the AFC and NFC championship games. Talk a little bit about fantasy football playoffs. Last week, talked about two leagues where it was a similar format, the one-and-done type of style. You can only play a player once through the playoffs.
Right.
I actually got a third league I had joined, and it's totally different. So didn't have time to explain that on the last episode. We'll talk about it there. And then I've already made a dynasty trade this year. So we can also talk about that. But so where do you want to start, Brad?
Fantastic. I'd love to hear about this this other league. I mean, the different formats and everything really intrigues me. I mean, going back to, 3 years ago when I – actually, just started getting into dynasty, and then hearing you guys talk about contract leagues and stuff. And now this is just like just another level. Obviously, the playoffs, different ways of doing it. So yeah, I'd love to hear about this third league.
So we had to. So kind of similar to one of the one plays in terms of the. It's also on RTS Sports, or I think this S stands for sports. Real time sports, I believe it's called. So their lineups, it's slightly different, but it's eight players. I guess all three of these contests are eight players per week.
Okay.
Only in this one, we actually have to draft 14 players, not even draft. You just select 14 players and that will be your roster throughout the entire playoffs. And then you have from that roster, 14 players, you have eight players each week to start maximum.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. That could be it can be a little dicey, especially this week. I mean, yeah, I'd love to see where you ended up.
For sure. And I think part of it was I actually kind of took a similar approach to how we do the challenge on the old site with the multipliers. I approached that one was I tried to guess the conference championships and get as many players with the x3 bonus as possible. And hopefully that's enough of them to get through into the Super Bowl for the x4 bonus. I kind of did something similar here. Okay, can I can I identify the four teams that'll make it to the NFC and AFC championship games? And I decided to basically just go with the 1 and 2 seeds. So I took for my 14-team roster, I took three players from the Ravens, the Bills, the 49ers, and the Cowboys.
Dallas, yeah.
And I only took two quarterbacks because we can only start one. We have to start two running backs. There's two wide receiver slash tight end spots. So you don't technically have to have either of those positions. There's one of those positions you don't have to have, but you at least have to have two that are at least one of those, wide receiver or tight end. No
I
tight end
got.
premium scoring. So essentially, I just took those spots as wide receiver spots. I completely ignored tight end in this league because there's no spot you had to play a tight end. And then there's one just regular flex spot. So running back,
Gotcha.
wide receiver, tight end, kicker, defense.
Okay.
And so with my quarterbacks, I only ended up going with AFC quarterbacks. Since we can only start one, I'm going to just pick from one conference and hope I get there. So I went with Josh Allen and went with Lamar Jackson, and I did kind of stack them. So I stacked them with running backs, to be honest. I stacked Lamar Jackson with Gus Edwards, but also Zay Flowers. That one looks like it might come in handy.
Okay.
I
Yeah.
went Josh Allen with James Cook, and then the Bills defense, just because I love their week one, their wild card matchup against the Steelers. I thought that was like the one certain thing of this
Right,
could
sure.
be a lot of turnovers. But that was the only defense I went with. I also only went with one kicker, and that's where the Cowboys come in. I took Brandon Aubrey, took CeeDee Lamb, and took Tony Pollard. So, and then with the 49ers, I went Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel. That's 12 of 14 right there. And
Right.
the last two spots, I ended up taking the Rams. In hindsight, I thought about it too, going with Chiefs and just like, let me take from three AFC teams. And one of those quarterbacks is bound to get there. I wish I had done that. I might have been able to maximize that a little more. Maybe going Patrick Mahomes, maybe Travis Kelce, or maybe Rashee Rice, whoever I would have stacked there. Or even Mahomes and Isaiah Pacheco. That might have made sense. Instead, I went with Kyren Williams and Puka Nacua, which is really nice the first week. Nacua went off, but now suddenly I've fallen behind a little bit. Now it gets to the point where, like, it's funny because week one, there was, or again, week one, wild card round, I really didn't have a choice at all because with enough Ravens and 49ers players on bye, I had to play basically everyone else I chose.
Right,
All the
right, right.
Bills, Cowboys, and Rams players. So fill the lineup there. And then last week, with the Rams and Cowboys getting eliminated, I basically had one spare. And it was, or I guess, yeah, one player. I think I didn't play Zay Flowers. And then basically the only choice I had to make was, yeah, deciding who to bench. And I chose Zay Flowers over Debo, Ayuk, McCaffrey, Gus Edwards, and James Cook. I chose all those players over Zay Flowers. Then I just had to choose quarterback, Lamar or Josh Allen. I unfortunately chose Josh Allen. Well, I mean, both did good, but I think Lamar
Yeah.
had the better game. So now this week, I literally don't have a choice. I don't have a kicker or defense. I only have six players left. Really hoping
Okay.
in this format, the Ravens and 49ers get through so I can have those same six players going
Sure.
next week. So whether Debo plays or not, he's going to be in this lineup because there's no other choice. And I either take a zero or he plays, and well, he might still take a zero if he plays, but at
Right.
least I have a chance at points there. So yeah, it's not looking so great. But I'd guess better on the other two teams, maybe I would be in a better position right now. But yeah, not getting my hopes up for that one.
Gotcha. How many fantasy managers are in this league? Is it kind of unlimited? Well, I mean, I guess
Yeah,
if you're doing
I think
like
it could be
12.
unlimited. This one I think was pretty s short.
Okay.
Yeah, just 10 people.
Okay.
I'm in seventh place and about 50 points back of the team that's in first.
Okay. All
And I
right.
believe they've been in first the whole time. Like they were the first after I was second place actually after wild card weekend. I was not
There you
that
go.
far behind him, and then
Right.
yeah, took off this week. They finished second. I finished last in divisional round. So it dropped me all the way to seventh. So yeah, it wasn't a great week.
Gotcha. All right. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, if the Niners and Ravens are able to move on, give you a, fighting chance there in a Super Bowl. So, yeah.
Yeah, at least I'll have the six players there fully go,
Yeah.
assuming Debo plays. But
Right.
so yeah, so that's how that one works. I guess I can go into the details of the other leagues I
Yeah.
talked about last week. So the other league on RTS Sports, again, I don't know why I keep saying the sports. So I mentioned it last week, where I had picked Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce the very first week. Because they won, it kind of forced me to follow those stacks through the matchup. So I went with Josh Allen, Dalton Kincaid. Honestly, I should have reversed that. Should have went Allen Kincaid the first week, Mahomes, Kelsey the second week, and I would have had a much better score. So I kind of messed up there. So this week, I'm going with Lamar Jackson and Isaiah Likely for now. I don't know what Andrew's going to look like him coming back. I don't love playing him in his first week back from injury if he even does play. I feel like, and even if he does play, the Ravens have shown over the past they'll use both their tight ends. So I think I likely will still have a role even with Andrews there.
It'll get some volume, sure. Yeah.
Now, just to maybe maximize the playing Lamar Jackson this week, I've decided I'm also going to stack Zay Flowers there. My thinking is even if the Ravens win and get through, I'll go with, quarterback tight end wise, I'll just go with whoever the NFC quarterback tight end is. So whether that's Brock Purdy, George Kittle, or Jared Goff, Sam Laporta.
Right.
I love those tight end options, but certainly, I mean, Laporta, I mean, Purdy and Goff, they have ceiling to their play. They may not have the highest floor for quarterbacks, but get into multiple touchdown games, like they could have
Sure.
those ceiling performances. So that all
Yeah,
seemed
we.
easy. Sorry, Brad.
No, I was just saying. Yeah, we've definitely seen that from both of them, the high ceiling. So, yeah.
So with Zay Flowers, the thinking there is, if the Ravens get to the Super Bowl, I'll still have access to like Odell Beckham Jr. or Rashad Bateman, who's finally looked like the best version of himself. So even Nelson Agholor. So I've got other options there. So I figure I can play Zay Flowers this week while I have the Lamar stack. That might be the best time they can get a couple touchdowns together, even one. That could be the most worth it week to play Zay Flowers. So use them up here. And then with the kickers and defenses, I followed those through matchup wise. Bills the first week. They won, so I had to pick the Chiefs last week, so which means I have to pick the Ravens defense this week. So kind of got at least in this league a four-way stack with Lamar, Zay Flowers, Isaiah Likely, and the Ravens defense.
Gotcha. All right.
And then Jake Moody, a kicker. I guess that was one decision I had to make was which kicker was I was going to go with. I did want to target that dome game, Detroit and Tampa. Ultimately, I
Yeah.
went with Michael Badgley, which means the only NFC kicker I have left is Jake Moody. So whichever AFC, whether it's Justin Tucker or Harrison Butker, whoever gets through, well, that'll be my kicker in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and that's certainly not a bad option for a kicker, either one of those guys. Yeah.
And so then that left me with the two running backs and the second wide receiver. And I guess the one strategy, see, I think the 49ers will get through. But in case they don't, I don't want to go through any of these leagues without having played McCaffrey. I thought about it even last week too, just in case the Packers snuck through. I guess in this case, I'm ha this is the one reason I'm happy they didn't, because then it still lets me have Christian McCaffrey. I'm still sad though. But yeah, so now with McCaffrey, I kind of feel like I want to play him. I don't want to test the fire too much, which that just disturbs me to think the Lions could get to a Super Bowl, but it is what it is
Yeah.
there. Now in this league, I had so through running backs already. I went Kareem Hunt, Aaron Jones, week one. Week one. I keep saying that. Wild card week. Guess it is week one of the playoffs. Gus Edwards, Jahmyr Gibbs last week. So already having used up Gibbs, I wasn't sure like when do I hold David Montgomery? Should I hold him for would it be best to hold him for the Super Bowl if in case the Lions get through? But if they don't get through, I still think that this could be a good week to maximize that still. But I don't know. So I'm thinking of going McCaffrey and Montgomery, playing both the running backs there, and then kind of whichever team gets through, I'll like double up potentially. I guess I already haven't played Gus Edwards. If the Ravens get through, I won't be necessarily be able to do that. That's where that would be kind of tricky. Then I'd probably have to go like Justice Hill, Elijah Mitchell, or Justice Hill, Craig Reynolds. That's maybe less than ideal. But if the Chiefs get through, I kind of want to use Pacheco and Clyde Edwards-Helaire potentially next week.
Sure,
And
sure.
I'll get to like the game preview of why I don't like playing Pacheco this upcoming week against the Ravens, I gotta say. That's the kind of the one guy I'm kind of avoiding this week.
Yeah, understood. And yeah, I'll talk real quick. As far as McCaffrey goes, I do feel, I mean, I'm not exactly sure where you are in contention, but I do feel that this is the week to play him as far as the defense that he's going against. I mean, the Ravens already proved that they could, limit him a little bit. The Chiefs had a solid defense as well. I mean, but big stage. I mean, if the Niners get to the Super Bowl, I mean, obviously McCaffrey's gonna be a part of it. But as far as opportunities getting into the end zone, I do kind of favor it this week, to be honest, because I mean, you take those two defensive coaches on the AFC side, they have 2 weeks to prepare and get with it. I mean, I don't really foresee him having a huge Super Bowl if they get there, but I mean, obviously it could be wrong, but I'm with you. I would lean going with him. And yeah, I don't have a problem with Montgomery. I mean, the Niners defense was definitely, gave up a nice huge run to Aaron Jones there, who went over 100 yards. I know it's a two-headed monster, but he seems to be the guy, getting the ball around the goal line. So sneak a touchdown at least, that could certainly go in your favor.
Yeah, so I kind of think let's just get these good running backs here, and then again maybe target the especially the AFC running backs next week. Again, if I have to play Craig Reynolds, I'll do it. It really just and then like that. So the tough decisions for me in this one were the two running backs and then the second wide receiver. And really because I don't and I think stacking so much on the Ravens, for instance. Half the lineup is Ravens players. I already had Jake Moody, so I've got him and McCaffrey in there. Suddenly that left one spot for a Lion, one spot for a Chief, and I went David Montgomery, and I think I'm gonna go Rashee Rice in this one.
I like
I
it.
had played Rashee Rice in the other league, so which means I guess a quick transition here. And I'm almost tempted to do it in this one too and play him in both. Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Something about him. In the championship games, he had a great NFC championship game with the Packers a couple of years ago when they lost to the Bucks. He smashed last year in the AFC championship game with the Chiefs against
He did.
the Bengals in Burrowhead, as they called it. Not calling it that this year. And then, so yeah, I just have this feeling about him, and again, I almost want to play him in both. Which I think I'm definitely going to play him in the Vipers League because I've already used up Rashee Rice. In the RTS one, that's where it's complicated because I would like to play Rice, and if the Ravens get through, and I don't play him this week, I won't get the chance to play him next week, obviously. So I think it's the fear of not being able to have him, and then I can maybe decide which second Chiefs receiver to play if they do in fact make it next week. Because the way I see it, I'm probably going to go with at least one NFC wide receiver, whether it's Brandon Ayuk, who I still have in this league. I haven't played him yet, and honestly. If Debo's healthy, I might just go with both of them. So don't mind missing on Rashee Rice next week if I don't have him. So I think I'm definitely leaning that. But again, to say in Vipers, I'm gonna go with MVS just because I've already played Rice. Let's play him here. I'm gonna at least have one NFC or AFC championship game with Marquez Valdes-Scantling going.
I got you. Yeah, no, I like rolling the dice with MVS there. Yeah, I mean, he certainly proved it in the past, like you said. And I mean, it could be a time where Mahomes, kind of. I mean, I know everybody's saying, he's. I mean, they talked ad nauseum during the game that he, Mahomes only trusts Rice and Kelce, but I think this could be a game where he could lean on the veteran a little bit, even though he's, kind of let him down a little bit.
Further pivot over to that Dynasty Vipers League again, set up by Matt Donnelly. Shout out to that. It's a fundraising event, so I think there's prizes to be won, but no money. But still, so some things to win. I just like winning, honestly. I just want to compete and win. I've already mentioned it. I went with Rashee Rice last week. Just to recap this one, instead of a kicker in defense, there's three wide receivers instead of two, and an extra flex spot. What I had done up to these first 2 weeks was play four wide receivers in each of the wild card and divisional round. However, I think I might pivot this week, but to start with like easy obvious things. So I started in the wild card week with a Jordan Love, Jaden Reed stack. Also went Dallas Goedert at tight end. Eagles lost, so that kind of allowed me some flexibility in terms of which tight end to choose, but it basically forced me into a Brock Purdy stack last week. And going Jordan Love following the trail to a QB. And if I was gonna play Purdy, I'd want to stack him with at least one of his options. And looking through it, initially I was actually gonna go with Debo Samuel, but I kind of left a contingency if Jair Alexander ended up being inactive for the Packers, I was gonna flip to Brandon Ayuk. But then we got to Saturday and Sam Laporta, who that was gonna be my plan at tight end, was gonna be to okay, stack Purdy with the receiver. go with a tight end. And then if I wanted to use George Kittle, assuming the 49ers got through, he'd be the guy I'd use in the NFC Championship game. But then with Laporta on Saturday, still questionable, having to make that decision with the Packers playing Saturday night against the 49ers. And it seemed like he was going to be cleared, but until we got that 100% certain, I didn't really want to waste it. So I decided to pivot, switch to make a quarterback tight end stack between Purdy and Kittle. And because the 49ers got through, I'm going to go with Jared Goff and Sam Laporta this week.
Okay. Yeah. My dynamic duo through the year. So yeah. Definitely had both of those guys. I mean, it's gonna see be interesting how you know how things shape out on the coast, but I mean they've certainly shown that they can you know put some points on the board. Doesn't necessarily have to be you know in the red zone. I mean, Laporta can get a little loose even with that banged up knee. So yeah, I'm glad you still get a chance to play the rookie for sure. I'm happy to see that. Even though he is a Lion. So
Last thing, I would have almost been happy if I had to play Kate Otten this week with Baker, because that means the Lions would have lost. I would have loved that, but I
yeah,
suppose this does
right.
benefit from fantasy standpoint. Now, because I went away from Laporta, though, I still wanted to go after this Lions game in the dome against the Buccaneers, so I ended up playing Amon-Ra St. Brown. So just to recap again, the receivers I had the first week were Jayden Reed, Nico Collins, Tyreek Hill, and Puka Nacua. So Dolphins and Rams losing, I could kind of move away from them. I, didn't have to worry about them too much. Reed going through, though, I decided, you know what, there's four good Packers receivers. So if they go all the way to the Super Bowl, I can play one each week. So in this format, I decided I'm going to play Romeo Dubs the second week. So that was kind of an easy one. I also thought Mike Evans, I played him in the RTS one the first week. I decided, maybe the second week's a good week to get him.
It sure was.
And then with the again with the moving away from the, oh yeah, I guess I didn't really finish my point on this, but moving away from the Laporta selection, I still wanted a line, so I went with Amon-Ra. So my wide receiver core this week was Romeo Dubs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Mike Evans, and then I already mentioned I threw in Rashee Rice as well, just to get a Chiefs exposure. So then, honestly, I remember this was maybe my toughest decision was which running backs to go with. I decided to go with Aaron Jones. And then I also went with James Cook. And those both look like good decisions now because both teams are eliminated and it still gives me flexibility going forward.
Right, sure.
I was tempted to play Gus Edwards and play him in both, and or really all three. I'm happy I didn't, even though the goal line guide said it last week. But yeah, as of right now, I think, as I mentioned, I'm going to go with MVS at wide receiver. I think I'm going to play Zay Flowers here, and then I'm also going to play Brandon Ayuk just to get at least one 49ers exposure. If they get through next week, or yeah, 2 weeks from now, I'm hoping that by the Super Bowl, Debo will be ready and I can play Debo in this contest here.
Yeah.
But then I trying to find a fourth receiver was tough. Just like I mentioned earlier, I kind of wanted to play McCaffrey, get him everywhere just in case. And honestly, I decided to go with Montgomery again, too. So McCaffrey, Montgomery, I'm going with them in both of these leagues. So we'll
Okay.
see how that works out. And with no Gus Edwards, potentially, I mean, he's banged up. We'll see if he plays. But with the potential that he might miss or be limited, I wonder if this is a good week to play Justice Hill. So, probably going to go with Justice Hill here. That might make me go away from Montgomery and play another receiver. I haven't decided yet because right now I've got the Jared Goff, David Montgomery, Sam Laporta stack. I don't know if that's the best place to use Montgomery. So I might switch out Montgomery in one of these leagues. If I do in this one, it's probably to go again for a fourth wide receiver. Just got to figure out who that wide receiver should be if I do in fact do it. But yeah, I guess I've still got a little bit to think about.
Yeah, interesting. And then I know you prefaced this earlier about not wanting to play Pacheco this week. So he's not available in that league,
Oh,
or
but no,
he
he
was
is. I
it?
could play him. And that, and but that will go against basically what I'm going to talk about here. I guess, Brad's a good time to talk about it. So the goal
Well,
line guide, the goal
yeah.
line grades, as I've been calculating them through the season, doing them
Like
the
it.
last couple weeks, got the articles for the regular season anyway, for the fantasy season, or even week 18. I did it on fullpresscoverage.com. I didn't do this for the playoffs, but I did calculate the numbers anyway.
Sure.
I take all the data from in season, each team's efficiency inside the 5 yard line, both offensively and defensively, split to run and pass attempts, take into account things like the implied total as well, likelihood of scoring, to give each team a score. A higher number means Better chances of touchdowns, lower number, less chances of scoring touchdowns. And again, the data look from inside the 5 yard line, just to, attempts from those areas do result in much higher percentage of touchdowns than they do from any other area of the field, which makes sense. The closer you are to the end zone, the more likely you could score in a variety of different ways. So I guess the first thing actually to look at, Brad, how many AFC Championship games has Patrick Mahomes been in where his team was the lowest implied total of the week? Probably never. This is probably the first time. I'm
I'm gonna say zero. Yeah.
pretty sure it's zero. They've almost they I mean he's almost always been favored at the AFC Championship games too. So 3.5 point underdogs to the Ravens is what the line opened at. The Chiefs implied total is at 20.5, the lowest this week. The Lions underdogs on the road as well, 21.75.
Wow.
Then we get to the two favorite teams. Baltimore is at 24 exactly. And then honestly, the 49ers are favored by 7 when the line opened. So their implied total is 28.75.
Wow.
So for 2 weeks in a row, the 49ers have been expected to be that team that scores the most points.
Gotcha.
So the
Yeah.
pro-McCaffrey argument, maybe comes into play again.
Definitely. Definitely. And I mean, yeah, I mean, kind of surprised me with the man, it really surprised me with the Chiefs with what they were able to do last week. And I mean, obviously left a touchdown on the field with the fumble at the goal line. I mean, look, I don't know. It seems like they're finally hitting their stride, whatever week 20, whatever week this is. But yeah, I feel like that's a little low. I don't know. I'm not as bold on the Baltimore defense as I mean, even though, the numbers don't lie, I feel like there is potential there for them to be picked apart a little bit.
This is probably the best offense they'll have faced all year. I mean, to be fair, the 49ers are maybe among those as well, but definitely the best quarterback they've faced all year.
I think they're definitely leaning on that 49ers game, which, hats off to them. They completely shut them down out in San Fran. So, but yeah. But yeah, tell me about the goal line guy.
Well, basically this is the second week in a row where this has happened, where the Ravens' opponent have had the lowest overall goal line grade for their rushing attack. Now, it's not as low as last week. Last week, the Texans' rushing score was at 46.75.
Sure.
The next lowest score in any of the last 3 weeks is, honestly, it is this one. It is the Chiefs' 64.5 for this week.
Wow.
That's still a bit of a gap because then we get some teams in the low 70s. There's a few of those throughout the last few weeks. So like 64.5 isn't astronomically low. There's still a big gap between how bad it was for the Texans, but that's why I really didn't like Singletary at all last week. But
Right.
yeah,
Yeah.
I'm kind of fading Pacheco in my lineups. And I know you were mentioning before we got on, you were going to maybe play some DFS this week for the playoffs. I do wonder if that's a good way to, pay up for McCaffrey and get a cheaper second running back. Like, I don't know if Justice Hill's going to be a good price or even like what Montgomery's price is going to be to Pacheco, but I feel like Pacheco's probably just going to be too expensive. You might be able to find ways to get around it and save money there. I don't know. Haven't
Gotcha.
checked
I like that. I
DFS
like that.
lineups, but that would be the way I'd start because the Chiefs have the largest differential of the week because they have the lowest rushing goal line grade. Their passing grade is actually the second highest. It's 94. There's another team with a 94.25 passing grade. So technically, it's not the highest of the week, but that differential of 29.5 points is pretty significant. So much more likely that the Chiefs get touchdowns through the air than they do on the ground. So that's what it's all to say there. We look at the Ravens, their differential is actually the second highest. We go from 29.5 down to 15. So a rushing goal line grade of 87.5 and a passing grade of 72.5. Another week where the Ravens more likely to score rushing touchdowns, but it's not
Right.
as overwhelming as it was last week when their rush score was 32 points higher than their passing grade.
Right,
In
right.
fact,
Or
it's the highest score we've seen so far in the playoffs. It was last week the Ravens rushing at 109.75. There hasn't been another score as high.
wow. Yeah, and that differential's been there pretty much all season with him obviously favoring the run game. So yeah.
Now, if Gus Edwards is limited, and I guess what it showed last week is that Lamar will just do it himself, right? So I think Lamar,
Yeah.
I think there's arguments to be made for all four quarterbacks in DFS. because I think they'll all be at different prices, and I think those prices might be appropriate for what they are. I don't even know who I would favor, honestly. I think I'd probably try and set four lineups, one with each quarterback, and see how the chips falls. Probably how I'd approach it. I guess depending on Goff's price, if it's higher than Purdy's, I think he's maybe the quarterback I'd fade. And that's because with the Lions, their rushing score is higher than their passing score. In fact, all three teams not named the Chiefs, the rushing score is higher,
Sure.
which has been sort of the case most weeks. Last week it wasn't. Last week there was actually more teams that had higher passing differentials, higher passing grades than rushing grades. It was five with higher pass grades, only three with higher rush grades. This week it's the opposite. The rushing grades kind of dominated. Now, I guess three of those teams that did have the highest rushing score last week, they all won, so they're back again. So yeah, but the Lions, their rushing goal line grade is 87.75, so a quarter point higher than the Ravens, and a 74.25 for their passing score. Which, I mean, the Ravens actually do have lower passing score this week, 72.5. But yeah, that plus 13.5 differential again also means why I'm considering Montgomery in a couple of these lineups, just because I think this might be a good week for him relative to some of the other run defense that he has faced in the past and will face. I guess he did get that touchdown week one, but that was probably the ideal matchup against the Rams. Like, certainly the Bucs' run defense is really tough. I mean, I think the 49ers is pretty good too, but then we get to the Ravens and Chiefs, and their run defenses are especially good. I'd argue the Ravens are the best run defense in the league, which is why, again, the Chiefs' rushing score is so low this week. Then we
Baby
get to the
Pacheco.
49ers. 49ers this week have the highest rushing grade, and they have the highest passing grade of the week. So I'm really hoping this comes true, because I do not want to see the Lions in the Super Bowl. So I'm really hoping the 49ers just score 106.75 for the rushing grade, 94.25 for the passing grade. Which, again, I think, to your point, Brad, still makes it a really good week for McCaffrey with the rushing touchdown possibilities.
Absolutely.
But no
Absolutely.
Deebo, I think McCaffrey can also score through the air. So kind of why I think
Absolutely.
I'm just going to have him in all three lineups this week, get those McCaffrey points, and yeah, move on from there.
Yeah, I think that's a great strategy. I mean, I'm sure there's other people that are possibly holding on to him for the Super Bowl, but I think playing him this week is definitely the way to go, especially with the numbers you just rolled out. So yeah, for
The
sure.
Lions do have one of the better run defenses in the league, but this is also maybe the best passing offense and the rushing offense in the league.
Yeah.
But that does make me wonder if, like, from a DFS perspective, if Purdy is going to be significantly cheaper than Lamar and Mahomes, maybe he's the best quarterback to target in DFS. You
Yeah.
know, to target a Purdy McCaffrey stack, you save the money off Purdy that way. You still get to max up for McCaffrey, and then it'll allow some other great options kind of across the board.
Definitely.
Play Rashee Rice or Kelce, one of the two seems like that would be smart in lineups. Really, any of the tight ends might be useful.
Yeah.
But yeah, that may be a way to go, that to try and, can you get Amon-Ra as well? Can you get a lot of these higher end players by saving money on, with Purdy, and maybe a cheap play in the flex spot, or
Right.
whoever's the cheapest defense of the four? I'm not even sure who that would be.
Well, I mean, if you go that route, I mean, your MFS or MVS pick
True.
would
Yeah.
definitely come in play
Yeah.
as
You know what?
well.
That'd be the guy. Instead of Rashee Rice, go with MVS. There's probably not a lot of people going that. Yeah.
I like
You
that. I like
see, you're teaching me too. That's good. DFS
it.
talk. Yeah, no, I guess we don't do too much DFS talk here in the pod.
For sure.
But yeah, I think it should be some good playoff games. I'm just trying to think, is there anything else I wanted to mention through my lineups? I guess in RTS, Mike Evans, Amon-Ra the first week, Nico Collins, Deebo Samuel the second week. I mean, I still won't get access to Amon-Ra, but these leagues where I'm going Amon-Ra early, I feel like I want to use Josh Reynolds in the Super Bowl, for instance. I think he seems to be doing pretty well with the Lions as kind of like the
Definitely.
second or third target for them. So I think
For
Josh
sure.
Reynolds might be a good play to where I'm willing to be aggressive on Amon-Ra and play him early.
Definitely.
Trying to think of what else. Yeah, I guess there's not much else to say about the playoffs, but AFC and NFC championships games. I hope everybody enjoys them. They should certainly be excellent contests.
I'm hoping for some entertainment there. I'm getting together with some buddies, and actually one of my fantasy football leagues, we're getting together, handing out prizes, and watching some football. And the guy who runs it's huge Lions fan, so he'll be on the edge of his seat from 6:30 on, I imagine.
You know what? I'm making a change right here. I think I'm kind of convincing myself on Reynolds, where the Dynasty Vipers lineup, I'm actually going to take out David Montgomery. I'll save him if the, for whatever reason, the Lions get through to the Super Bowl. It'd be the one good news for me is that I'll have David Montgomery to play.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to go with Josh Reynolds this week.
Interesting. I mean, he's certainly been targeted more, this time of year than he was the rest of the year. So, yeah.
Yeah, I played Amon-Ra last week. So, I mean, I guess it does limit me on receivers into next week. I mean, maybe, a Jamison Williams or whatever. But I think because I'm playing Goff in the Vipers lineup, part of me thinks let's double stack him with Laporta and Reynolds. I think
There you
that
go.
makes more sense than playing David Montgomery. So then it can I'll play Justice Hill. So again, preserve Montgomery in case they get through next week.
Case.
And if
Okay.
you know what? If it's Ravens,
Ravens line.
49ers, I think in this league I'll still have Gus Edwards. And I'll just
Right.
go Gus Edwards, Elijah Mitchell.
Okay.
If it's the Chiefs, then it's Pacheco and honestly, maybe Pacheco and CEH. I just play both of them. So if it's Chiefs, Lions, obviously Montgomery gets in there. But yeah, I think that's how I'm gonna go for now.
I
Play
like it.
Josh Reynolds. At least get Reynolds in one spot, I think,
Well, there you
rather than
go.
double up Montgomery in both.
Yeah, you're gonna be able to handle having all those lines in the
Well, again, I kind of committed to that. I like it. Part of me
lineup.
is kind of mad that I went with
Yeah.
this, but because part of me was thinking, should I go in the AFC for both quarterbacks in both leagues? And which I should have done. I should have gone with a CJ Stroud, probably Nico Collins stack week one. I should have done that somewhere. I think actually in Vipers, I did play Nico Collins in the first lineup. So I should, in hindsight, I would have gone Stroud. Probably would have then ended up playing Lamar last week. And then this week I'd have Mahomes, I guess, Mahomes and Rice or
Right.
Mahomes and MVS.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So yeah, I definitely made some mistakes. I don't think I feel like I'm not going to win any of these three, unfortunately. Too many mistakes made. Again, the one that's really just biting at me is just reversing Allen and Mahomes. If I had gone Allen
Right.
Kincaid week one, Mahomes Kelsey week two, that'd be so much better than the way I did it.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I almost considered going Stroud and Nico Collins. So that's the mistake. I should have at least gone Stroud in one of them once, but I didn't. Oh well.
Got you. Well, yeah, it'll still be fun, and that's what it's all about, man.
For sure. And I think, again, I've set it up to where I'm going to have at least decent players in the Super Bowl, which maybe not everyone who competed against has thought it out as well and might get stuck in places. I know I'll certainly, like, again, this in the quarterbacks and tight ends are kind of locked in. So that's that I'm not worried about. I've already kind of predetermined that, which meant going into this, going Love, then Purdy, it kind of predetermined I was going to have to go Jared Goff. So I had
Gotcha.
accepted my fate when I went decide I'm going to go NFC here, that I might have to go a Lions heavy lineup one week. You know what, though? They're a good fantasy team, so I don't mind having
For
them.
sure. Yeah, definitely.
Dynasty fantasy football. We love it,
Woo.
right, Brad?
We do, man. I think I was talking to you before the show. I guess I should, start looking around and because Dynasty never sleeps. So I'm certainly interested to see what you had happen recently in one of your leagues.
So I'll shout out to Mr. Losty Mix at Losty Mix on Twitter, and then Danny Ocean. They have a podcast, it's a YouTube show as well called Speak on It on the Going for Two Live Network. It's hilarious. Anyway, last year or 2 years ago, D and Danny decided to create a dynasty league. D is the commissioner of it, and we renewed the league basically at, like, I think week 17 was New Year's Eve, and like we the league was renewed and ready to go by, I think, January 2nd
Nice.
maybe. And there's already been 10 trades this month, not these like 2 weeks. But they all came in like flurries. There were six trades made on January 3rd or 4th,
Interesting. Okay.
and then there's been another I guess five trades made in the last 48 hours. So, okay, flurry of trades a couple weeks and then another flurry of trades. So, I guess I'll talk about the trade I made, which just happened, I guess, yeah, yesterday got accepted.
Okay.
And I was kind of trying to use either T. Higgins or Drake London, maybe even in some cases both, as well as the 109 that I have in the rookie draft this year, as a way to get a wide receiver upgrade. So I was trying to package them together or sometimes individually. Couldn't quite work anything out. Was targeting like some big fish, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Right.
I even sent out an offer for Puka Nacua. And I guess I was close because that manager actually accepted a pretty similar offer for another wide receiver. They gave a little bit more, and I think that ended up being the difference. A second round pick swap. I had just offered Drake London in a first straight up for Puka Nacua. And they decided they preferred Tank Dell a first. I think it's a slightly earlier first as well. I think it's like the 107, so two
Okay.
picks earlier, and a swap of second round picks. So there's a bit of a move up in the second round for that.
Okay.
So that was viewed as the better package, which I can't blame them. I think they made out well for selling Puka.
Yeah.
But then was able to use Drake London to go upgrade to Michael Pittman. So
I like it.
it's a 3 for 3 trade. So I gave up Drake London. I already mentioned the rookie pick 109 and Tony Pollard. And I got in return Michael Pittman, the rookie pick 203, and Derrick Henry. I guess the one last thing I should mention, this is the only one QB dynasty league I'm in. So
Okay.
a little bit of a devaluation of the picks, I would say, because
Understood.
how much value there is in quarterbacks. In Superflex, it does make those picks more valuable that can be used to take quarterbacks. Here, not so much. So that's why I was really kind of trying to shop the pick. I'll start by, I might try and shop other picks in other dynasty leagues, but this was a 109 in a single QB league. I didn't love that. I felt like the allure of the first, especially this early on in the process, might help me get enough value. I
Sure.
didn't mind the four move, four pick move down from 109, because it's only a 10 team league. So move down four spots, go from one free agent running back to another, because I believe Tony Pollard and Derrick Henry will both be free agents this year. I'll
Yeah.
go with the slightly older one, but he's also shown to have a higher ceiling. So if he ends up in the right spot, maybe he ends up being equal to Tony Pollard or better, but he's older, right? So I think that's why it was viewed as a pivot down. This manager was trying to use this as part of a way to get off Derrick Henry.
Okay.
So I felt like, going from Pollard to Henry, moving down from the 109 to the 203, I felt both of those things together were worth the pivot up from Drake London to Michael Pittman.
Yeah, I like the move to get Pittman there, and thank you so much for explaining that it's a 10 team league, single quarterback. I mean that makes your side, in my opinion, even more desirable, because only having the one quarterback, it certainly devalues those picks, as you mentioned. And but your first round is still sexy in the minds of lots of managers. So yeah, I mean, I think the opportunity to get Pittman there and really only lose four spots. And I mean, you know how I feel about Derrick Henry. Yes, he's a little long in the tooth, but I think if he gets to a contender, I mean, he could replace Pollard in Dallas. I mean,
That would almost be ideal. That
how
would be
beautiful would
great.
that be? I mean, that'd be phenomenal. I'd love to see him in the with the star on a helmet. But yeah, I mean, I think something like that. I mean, everybody's somewhat injury free as far as we know, besides normal nicks and bumps and bruises. But yeah, moving on, grabbing a Pittman who obviously had a career year. Anthony Richardson coming back, still young. I mean, he certainly has outproven Drake London at this point. So I don't see any reason why him to continue his trend up.
And just from a dynasty portfolio, I'm already looking at my shares and stuff. This was the only league where I had Tony Pollard in dynasty. For him to get off the, I just got rid of him off the spreadsheet. It kind of feels good because there's a lot of uncertainty of where
For
he's going to
sure.
be, what kind of role he's going to have, and I don't know. Kind of don't want to necessarily play that game. I suppose there's uncertainty with Drake London too in terms of like who his quarterback's going to be, but most of all, Michael Pittman is about to be a free agent. There's a chance, and I think the Colts would be and probably should try and extend him to a big extension, but maybe they don't. I still feel like he's going to test the market, and in free agency, he's going to get a monster deal to be some other team's number one wide receiver. So while there is uncertainty with Pittman, I don't mind it. I think he's shown so much
Yeah,
already
definitely.
that I don't have my dynasty rankings published yet. I think I was tr aiming to get it out by now, but I think I'm actually going to publish them after Championship Sunday. So in these like the
Gotcha.
sometime in the 2 weeks between the AFC NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, I feel like
Okay.
there's a bit of a void there. That's where I'll throw out the dynasty rankings. But all to say, right now I have Michael Pittman in the top 10.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, such an upgrade from a disappointing season last year. I mean, just for a variety of reasons, but yeah, he certainly came back. He commanded the ball. He went after the ball. Stayed relatively healthy. The majority of the year. Put up those numbers with Minshew. I mean, that's being down here in Jacksonville, we still have a special place in our heart for Gardner. But he doesn't have the strongest arm. He doesn't have the biggest arm, but he can cert he certainly was able to find Pittman this season, and Pittman was able to put up double digit receptions several weeks in a row, well over 1,000 yards. You'd like to see him get in the end zone a little bit more, but it's still compared to the previous season when there was so much hype. There was a lot of hype going in last year. So look, obviously big disappointment, but what a bounce back for him, for sure.
And just looking at all these other trades, unless you wanted to continue talking about this trade, Brad.
Yeah, no. I'd love to hear what else is going on. Give me an idea of what I could be doing.
Well, so context here is that we had two managers leave this league, so we had two new managers come in, and they didn't do a dispersal draft like we had done with George and Gator. So they each took over their teams, but as soon as like they were in. Those were the days. Like, I think the next day was January 3rd, or maybe even that day. And the two of them just started making trades. I'm looking, and at least one of the two new managers was involved in each of those six trades that I mentioned happened
Wow.
those first 24 hours.
Okay.
So, like,
Sure.
they both saw these teams and good pieces, but they immediately had moves that they wanted to make. So, the first new manager who has, I guess, he's actually the guy I traded Pittman away from, and I had been targeting Justin Jefferson, but he's not going to let go of Justin Jefferson. So, moved off to Pittman in terms of the target. But the first move he made actually was to, I guess, in a single QB league, having Josh Allen, he decided he was going to kind of maximize on a Josh Allen Stefon Diggs stack by selling away both and DeAndre Hopkins in an effort
Okay.
to get younger. They got Trevor Lawrence, George Pickens, and a second round pick, which actually that's the second round pick they traded to me. So that is the 203.
Interesting. So it was Allen Diggs in a
Hopkins.
Allen's did wow.
For Lawrence, Pickens, and 203.
Yeah, definitely getting younger. I'm not sure. I mean, it certainly depends on the rest of the roster. I mean, when you rattle off those names, I mean, I definitely prefer the Allen side. But I mean, if he's looking to get younger,
Their
still some questions
team,
at
sorry,
with the Steelers. Yeah, still some questions with the Steelers quarterback. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, all right, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, like, in terms of the context, this team was the second seed going into last year. They got the first round bye, and I actually think they lost in that week 16. So I think they ended up finishing third or fourth,
Okay.
but certainly a championship caliber team. Eventually, like
Yeah.
a team with Justin Jefferson on it probably should be leaning towards competing. So I'm not gonna lie,
Oh yeah, you mentioned
for their
him.
first move coming into the league, I didn't think it was a great move for them. I
No.
thought it didn't need to necessarily get younger with a team that I understand trying to get off Hopkins and even the way Diggs has played this year, but to move on. I mean, it's one QB league, but that means you still probably want to score as many points in that QB spot, just less importance on the depth and needing multiple options. If I can get
Right.
Josh Allen, I kind of want that. So
Yeah,
shout out
for
to the
sure.
commissioner D, who ended up making this trade and getting Josh Allen and Diggs.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, like you said, selling Hopkins and Diggs, maybe pairing them together, but yeah, I don't know if I could get rid of Allen in a single quarterback league, let alone two quarterback.
Because, well, in a 2QB league, he would be like maybe the most valued asset.
Yeah.
Whereas in a 1QB league, as much as he scores tons of points, his trade value is not necessarily huge. Like, if you
Yeah.
take it one for one, he's the best asset in the trade. The other best asset coming back was George Pickens,
Yes.
Lawrence, the 203. Like, I think that's where I
That's
don't
a
love
two.
that move for them. Now,
Yeah.
as part of having Justin Jefferson, they also had Jordan Addison. I don't think they wanted both because the second move they made just a few hours later, the next morning, the next day, they traded away Jordan Addison and a couple of thirds to get a first this year in 2024. And it's, I guess it was their own first back. So it would have been, I guess, the 10.
Oh, 08 or whatever.
Actually, I'll have to look. Well, we actually have a lottery for the playoff team. So where you rank? So like, I have the 109, the second last pick. I did not make it to the finals. I lost in the
Okay.
quarterfinal. So
Yeah.
I got it messed me up on
That lottery.
the
Yeah.
lottery. Actually, that ended up being the 110. So he gave up Jordan Addison for the 110. See, I still I don't like that for them either.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Wow. I'm not thrilled with that one either. I feel like you get a little bit more. I mean, maybe a different established player. I mean, if you wanted to pick, yeah, man, yeah, 110. Yeah, I'm not
But
sure.
again, and I think part of their justification is they are making tons of moves. So I think on the whole, some of these moves make more sense when you look at all the moves they made. And this is actually with the other new team they made this trade. So this other new team, they go out and they go acquire Jordan Addison.
Gotcha.
And then they immediately went and they, like literally 10 minutes later, flipped Aaron Jones a second and a third. The second is this year in 2024. I believe it was like the 207. So Aaron Jones, the 207 for Javonte Williams. So that one I'm not sure about because there's so much uncertainty with Denver. I mean, who knows if
Yeah,
Aaron Jones is
sure.
back with the Packers? I
Right.
get getting younger at running back.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the way I want to do it, but I understand it. Certainly for a new team coming in, wanting to go get young players. Okay, they just acquired Jordan Addison. Let's go get younger at running back with Javonte Williams. It makes sense. For the other team's perspective, it's Danny, the other speak on it host.
Okay.
I think it makes sense for him too to get Jones. So you get older running back, but you also get some draft capital that you can kind of utilize in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, like part of me wants to say it's a wash, but I'm still I was definitely high on Javonte this season coming into it. I thought that he would be able to bounce back from the injury. It just never really happened. Maybe the second year he materializes into what he was starting out as his rookie year, but yeah, I mean, Aaron Jones is what, 30 or 29, 30, or is he something like that?
I think he
Oops.
might be 29. I'm gonna look that up now. I guess I can click on the player name when nothing
This
here.
last year on the contract, is that
You see, I think he has a year left on his contract, but the Packers can get out of it.
Gotcha.
Actually, I don't know about that. Maybe I should look that up. But anyway, the other trade that was made while I'm looking that up, get this new guy coming in, trading away Aaron Jones, getting Javonte Williams. They also traded away Jalin Hyatt for a 25 third. I guess at that point they just wanted to re-roll him. And there's a couple of these trades that have been made this month that are exactly that. We're just rookie from last year, give a pick back.
Right.
So yeah, I was right. Aaron Jones does have 1 year left on his deal.
Okay.
They could get out of him if they wanted to. They save only about 5 million if they cut him on a $17 million cap hit. So,
Gotcha.
personally, as a Packers fan, I don't think it. I don't know what you're going to do with that 5 million to make it worth it. I think he's so integral not just to the run game but to the pass game that you
Yeah.
justify paying him almost like a receiver because he's so useful in that regard that I think he should be back. But I'm also not Brian Gutekunst. Jordan Love wouldn't be on the Packers if that was the case. So maybe it's a good thing I'm not Brian Gutekunst.
There you go. Yeah.
Anyway, just to give you some ideas, and then someone else, I guess the other new manager, the guy that had that still has Jefferson, he traded away or he bought Jonathan Mingo for a 25 second. That same type of thing. Someone re-rolling. Danny, he did that. He did it twice actually, because he just did it today, this morning. He kind of re-rolled on another rookie wide receiver from last year. and just gained extra picks. So kind of like that from Danny's perspective, where he's accumulating. He did it twice. He did it with Jonathan Mingo about a few weeks ago, and then he just got another 25 second this morning for Quentin Johnston. To get two, I feel like I understand get that two extra picks. That even if it's in one QB, that's still like the idea of getting multiple of those seconds, even if it's next year, kind of control a bit of a round. I feel like that's worth it more than these rookie wide receivers that really didn't do much as rookies.
There's definitely a handful that didn't do much, and those are two names that didn't. So, and the Jalen Hyatt as well.
And then
So
again, back to that
he
guy.
flipped.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, he flipped all three of those, or
No, the Hyatt is a different manager, but yeah,
okay.
Danny decided to sell Mingo for a second and then sell Quentin Johnston for a second this morning.
Yeah,
Actually, he did that. He did
I
both of
get
those trades
it.
with the same manager. It's the dude who has Justin Jefferson. Traded Pittman with me. Then one last one. This is back to the guy who bought Jameson Williams, or sorry, Javonte Williams, bought Jordan Addison. He wanted to sell Davante Adams to get younger. So he got. Sold Adams alongside 2/3 and got a 25 first and 25 second.
Wow. 25 first and 25 first and a second for Davante Adams and a third, you said,
And
or
2/3, both thirds and 25. It's funny, this looks a lot like the Jordan Addison deal, but they were on the other side of it last time they had acquired. They traded away the picks to acquire Addison. This time they acquired picks for Adams. So clearly, again, the idea of getting younger, that like that makes that trade look make a bit more sense, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think
Actually,
it's
I think we like that Jordan Addison trade from the getting Jordan Addison perspective. So, but now it makes even more sense if you're able to even get younger and still like you still now have draft capital to go along with Addison. So I especially like the way that guy has moved his team. And that's the guy I was talking about that he traded away Puka Nacua, but to get Tank Dell another first this year and a second. So that's not necessarily getting younger because you're moving from Puka Nacua to Tank Dell, but still, he's got a bit of a stable of young receivers and now extra draft capital than what he had at the start. So I think in totality, I like what that manager has done a lot since he's come in. I do like what the other manager has done in the sense that he traded me Michael Pittman. I like that that happened, but that's more, I like that it happened for me.
Definitely.
I feel
Interesting.
like his trades still make sense. Like he really seemed to want to get off Derrick Henry, and this was kind of a way to do it and still acquire first, still acquire Drake London as part of it. It cost him Pittman, but obviously they felt it was worth it. Now, one last trade, Brad.
Yeah,
This
bring
caused a stir this morning. I actually got back after work and saw everything that had respond like happened in the messages and stuff. Maybe all the trades we talked about where he maybe wasn't winning earlier, buying Mingo, buying Quentin Johnston, selling away Allen, selling away Jordan Addison. Maybe it's all worth it because he made this move. He bought Jaylen Waddle. This is the package he sent for Jaylen Waddle. Josh Downs, Cortland Sutton, Dalvin Cook. And a 26 second.
I mean, yeah, I like that. I mean, especially, I mean, Waddle's gonna benefit you now, in the future. I mean, for sure. I mean, I like Downs. I mean, I like
I do
Downs a lot.
too. Big Downs believer.
That'd probably be like my only hesitation if there was someone else he could package up. But I mean, who knows what the conversation was, but no, I don't like the Downs thing kind of brings it down a notch for me, but I do like I like him going to grab Waddle. I mean, for sure.
And to be honest, like I didn't think it was that bad, but man, the rest of the league thought this was egregious. Like this is you acquired Waddle for nothing. And I think I know Bam, who if anyone watched the Speak on It podcast, you'll see he's in the chat defending himself. And I agree with this. Like I see you seem to as well, Brad. Josh Downs is a good piece. If Josh Downs develops even close to how good Waddle is, That probably makes this trade a win, even though Dalvin's probably not so useful. But maybe down the line, 2026 second, maybe in 2025 he uses that to trade for a player that helps him. So
Right.
I don't think that's bad. Cortland Sutton's kind of a total wild card because we have no idea who the Broncos quarterback's going to be.
Sure.
So that could be. I mean, if it's Jared Stidham all year, I don't love that for Cortland Sutton. But I could see where this could benefit Bam. I know everyone was focused on Dalvin Cook. Like, Dalvin Cook, man, why are you trading for him? That seemed to be the prevailing thought of the game. And he's maybe the like fourth most important piece in this trade. Like, it
Yeah,
really is to me the
agree.
key of this is Josh Downs. And I felt like people were being a little harsh on Bam in that. It seemed to be ignoring how good of a rookie season Downs had, frankly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean yeah. Yeah, I mean I can understand what I mean like you said I can understand where it might have ruffled some feathers, but yeah, I mean I think the Josh Downs piece and those futures, I mean, yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay with it. Yeah.
Well,
Yeah.
so Bam, if you're listening, the FPC Fantasy Pod totally supports your trade.
Two
It
thumbs up.
wasn't nearly as egregious as the rest of the league seemed to think it was.
I
Love
agree.
to. I was at some point considering making an offer for Waddle. Obviously, maybe I should have. I was so focused on getting Michael Pittman, I kind of was
There you
blinded
go.
to everything else. But sometimes that's why I think that's why I wanted to do it so quickly, just recognizing. Again, January 3rd and 4th, how many trades were made that day? And for the last like 2 weeks, I've been going out and trying to buy some of these elite wide receivers, just seeing how the chance that they might be moved around. So
Gotcha.
Pittman was on the trade block too. So if I hadn't gone and traded for him, it might have been pretty imminent where someone else might have gone and sent an offer. So I felt it was once we got down to that price of, the idea was London in a first for Pittman was their offer, verbal offer anyway, back to like would that work? And I initially said I wanted to make it a 2 for 2 and make it equal, and I guess they had the idea of making it a 3 for 3, giving me Henry and a running, but I'd have to give up a running back. And I
Pollard's there.
felt
Yeah.
if
Yep.
that, I wasn't going to let Tony Pollard be the reason I didn't get Michael Pittman ultimately.
Understood. Understood. Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, I mean, wow. Yeah. Dynasty, yeah, never sleeps. I gotta get on it, man. Gotta get on
That's the thing, I saw all the trades happening on like January 4th. It is, oh my goodness, I gotta get involved or else all the players I want to trade for are gonna be gone.
I gotta find some time. I gotta get in there for sure.
Luckily, the FBC Dynasty League, there hasn't been a trade made yet this year. Who
Gotcha.
knows? Maybe soon.
There's still time for sure.
Definitely. But yes, there's still gonna be time next week to talk. I guess at that point will be a Super Bowl preview. Next
Yes,
week, we'll
sir.
know who's participating in the big game. And yes, Brad, that'll be our final episode of the season. We'll return, talk probably coaching changes, maybe the week of the Super Bowl, maybe the week after. I still haven't decided when we'll return yet, but
Okay.
one more episode for the folks next week.
Yeah, looking forward to these games, and always sitting down, chatting with you about what happened, what's gonna happen in a couple weeks for the Super Bowl, and yeah, then it's dynasty ranking time. So yeah, bring it on. Looking forward to it, Kyle.
Absolutely. And but between now and then we'll take a couple weeks off. You could still reach out to us on X, message us, tweet at us if you want any specific ideas. Now the off season is here, or fantasy football off season anyway. Not that there's an off button in Dynasty as we just proved, but this is the time of year where we can focus more on larger topics and larger discussions and specific themes as opposed to week to week sort of matchups.
Right.
So this is the time of year if people have suggestions of episode topics. This is where we'd love to hear what you would want to hear about. I know what Brad and I love talking about when it comes to dynasty or fantasy football, and we think it's actionable, but of course, if there's things we're missing, we'd love to know that if people have any specific desires from us.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would love to hear from everybody for sure.
And of course, you can also follow your co-hosts. I guess our account is at FPC underscore fantasy pod, by the way. I guess I should mention that. But yeah, tweet at us there at FPC underscore fantasy pod. Brad's at the rundown underscore BH. I'm at Senra Says. Also want to shout out PA the Second on X at PA underscore II official. He lets us use the song Wallet as our intro and outro music. And he also recently released a new album at the end of 2023. It's called Illa You, the fifth EP installment in the Illa series. So ILLAH, the letter U. And again, PA_II official. PA the second. Really appreciate that. Really appreciate him as well, but also especially for letting us use the song. Wallet. Those are intro and outro. And we want to help people fill their wallets here in the Fort Press Fantasy Fund. Help them win their leagues and help them win their conferences.
Definitely. As you mentioned before, winning is such a great feeling. So, yeah, we're here to help.
And hopefully people get that great winning feeling every time they listen to us here. The Full Press Fantasy Pod.